The following copyrighted program is presented by PodcastNorm.com. Hi, everybody. My name is Russ, and I'd like to welcome you to the show we call Just a Fan's View, the show that talks about NASCAR from just a NASCAR fan's point of view. We won't be doing any interviews with drivers, and we won't be talking to any crew chiefs. In fact, when we do interview anyone, it will be just another NASCAR fan. That's why we call it Just a Fan's View. So hold on to your cup holder. We're not afraid to express our opinion. In fact, it is what we do best. Today's show is
Saturday Night Short Track and Under the Lights at Richmond from a NASCAR Fan's View. The track record fell at RIR for qualifying this weekend for the first time since 2004. It is becoming a habit with the Gen 6 car, and some say it is showing itself to be the fastest stock car NASCAR Cup has seen. Of course, we all know there is more to racing than just speed, and it remains to be seen if the race at Richmond International Speedway will be exciting or just another race when the Cup teams take for the track Saturday night under the lights. From this fan's view, the qualifying was interesting, but as in weeks past, was inconclusive for telling exactly which of the top qualifiers might have an advantage. Even with all of the hoopla this last week surrounding Matt Kenseth's team and JGR, they still managed to put two cars on the front row. Of course, that would be Matt Kenseth's number 20 Toyota on the pole, and the number 11 of Denny Hamlin, driven this weekend by Brian Vickers. I don't know how you feel about that, but from where I come from, it is called making a statement. I have heard a lot of talk this week about how unfair many think NASCAR is being with JGR and Kenseth, but from my view, rules are rules. Since the introduction of the Gen 6 car, it appears NASCAR has really come down hard in recent weeks with what many call outrageous fines and penalties, and JGR and Penske have borne the brunt of the so-called wrath of NASCAR. I don't really know how the appeals will go for either team. I just know that a line has to be drawn somewhere, and it appears some lines have been crossed that shouldn't be crossed, at least as far as NASCAR is concerned. In some ways, I agree with those that have said the penalties seem a little excessive. In other ways, I see NASCAR's point and have to agree with them to the point of they have to do what they have to do. And to that point, they always have done it. Personally, I don't think the real argument is what some are trying to make it. I don't think JGR had any control over what happened, but it did happen, and I do get the feeling, were the shoe on another's foot, they would want NASCAR to handle it the way they did. I don't think anyone thought the light rod made a hill of beans difference to how Kenseth finished or has been running. The question in my mind is, what if two of the eight rods were found to be light? Would that have made the penalties more understandable? I know I'm headed down a dead-end street here, but where is the line to be drawn, and should it matter whether it was a mistake or whether the intent to actually gain an advantage was there or not? The facts are, the rod was light, the rules said it couldn't be, and that should settle it, at least for now. On a more positive note, as a former racer, I like the way the engineers and crew chiefs constantly push the envelope when it comes to getting every ounce of speed out of these cars. Yes, sometimes they do work in the gray area, or maybe I should say they often work in the gray area, and sometimes that causes them to step over the line and causes a new rule to be made that specifically addresses that area in black and white. I always remember the rule book we had for our local tracks. They all generally had the same statement tucked away somewhere in the pages that was a cover-all statement, and it generally went like this. Just because these rules don't say you can't do something, doesn't mean you can. Sure, I know that is a simplification of the actual statement, but the point is, racers, crew chiefs, and engineers are smart and innovative, and they always seem to find a place in the rules that requires those rules to be written in a more specific way, so the gray area is no longer gray. Sometimes it just has to say more than actions detrimental to stock car racing. From this fan's view, I expect a bit of a breakaway at the beginning of the race, much as we saw last week with Matt Kenseth taking off from his pole position and staying out front for many laps. The very same thing could happen tonight. Richmond is a fast track, and we should all be treated to an exciting night of racing simply because it is very fast and considered a short track. I can't speak for you, but I came away from qualifying with the same feeling I have developed over the last few races. I don't think qualifying speeds tell the whole story, but I do think for those qualifying up front, it gives a definite advantage all round to them. That being said, there are a lot of fast cars and great drivers starting in the top 25 whose speeds were only thousandths or hundredths slower than the others, and I expect many of them will be pressing their way toward the front as the race progresses. Have I picked a winner yet? No, not really, but I do think other than the JGR front row, Jeff Gordon has a very good shot for taking the win tonight. Clint Bowyer is another that runs very strong at RIR, and I don't expect him to be silent either. Dale Jr. seemed very happy with his racing setup, and that could mean a trip to victory lane for him by the end of the night, too. I never discount the Busch brothers, especially at Richmond, and lately Jamie McMurray has been running very consistently. Why, we might even see Martin Truex Jr. taking the win tonight. From this fan's view, unless they make some very good adjustments, I don't expect the Fords to win tonight, and it still appears to me the RCR teams just aren't there yet with the Gen 6 car. Judging from the practice sessions and the qualifying speeds being so close together, it is my opinion it will be hard to pass, and I expect to see quite a bit of the old bump and run. Of course, that will depend on whether or not those that want to pass can get close enough to use the chrome horn so they can pass. I also expect the difficulty in passing to take its toll on the driver's emotions, and there could be a few tempers displayed by the end of the night. I mean, after all, this is basically short track racing on a Saturday night. And we all know what that can mean, don't we? Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time, right here, at NASCAR Fans View, for just a fan's view of NASCAR racing. That's the show for today, and we're really glad you took the time to be with us. It is our hope you enjoyed this time and that you will tell a friend where to find us. Just a Fan's View is a production of, and all views expressed are strictly the opinion of, PCN Productions. Thanks for being here, and until next time, have a great week. Hi everyone, my name is Rusty Norman, probably better known to you as Podcast Norm. I'm the voice behind Podcast Norm Audio Productions, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about the music I use in my podcasts and other productions. It's from Mike Stewart, and it's called Two Buck Themes. We all know music makes every production better, and not only is Two Buck Themes royalty free, but it is very affordable. How much is it, did you say? Just $2 a theme, 5 themes at a time, and I use it exclusively on these podcasts. If you make audio and video productions and want to make them better, then give Two Buck Themes a try. I know you won't be disappointed. Once you hear and use them for yourself, I'm sure you will feel the same way I do about them. So click on the link below and get Two Buck Themes for yourself. Hey, this is Russ, and I'll see you next time.